Hey, what's up, Freedom Tech? All right, this is take two because I had the mic muted this whole time. So that's why I do audio checks. But I gave everybody some time to jump into the stream. We've got 17 people here now. Welcome to Freedom Tech Weekend. This is your weekly show where we go over one tool that you can play with this weekend to increase your privacy, increase your data sovereignty, and let's find ways to slowly help you take back some of your data. Get out of control of these apps that lock you into their systems and lock your data into their systems. So now we should have audio. Let me make sure. There we go. We've got audio. Great. Awesome. Cool. Today, now that we've got everybody here and now that I've wasted some of your time with my muted microphone, we are going to jump in. Today, we're talking about maps. This was a suggestion from one of our listeners. After last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago, maybe, I don't remember which one, but they posted online and said we should look at alternatives to maps. So this is for you. I do want to call out a Boost that I got. Boosts, if you don't know, are on podcasting 2.0. So this goes out live. We're streaming live with video, but then we also do it where I archive it on YouTube and I archive it on podcast on RSS feed for audio only. And so I just wanted to call out, I got a couple of boosts. The first one, a boost is where somebody basically like pays a little bit of money and says, I really like this episode and leaves a comment, right? It's kind of like a super chat in YouTube. So this one was for 2,100 sats, which are small amounts of Bitcoin. So 2,100 Bitcoins, if you will. It says, if you were on the fence about ChatGPT privacy concerns, the recent court ruling should be the impetus to look elsewhere. Marx does a good job explaining the current landscape and why we owe it to ourselves to pursue a better way forward. That was from Wardemoth. Thank you for the comment. Really appreciate it. And for the zap. And then the other one is from Spencer. Good privacy focused information to be aware of. So thank you both. I appreciate it. If people boost me on Podcasting 2.0, a great app is called Fountain. You can do it on there. You don't have to be a Bitcoin user. You can boost with just with credit card and stuff too. I am not doing this show to make money. I actually run a company called Maple AI, where we make the most private cloud AI that you can find. It's like a private ChatGPT. That's one reason I do this, because I want to share the Freedom Tech knowledge, and I also do it because I want to try and make people more aware of privacy tools like Maple. So any boosts that come in, I take those sats, I take that money, and I donate it back out to the community of Freedom Tech builders, because I want to continue to help grow this community and support people that are building really cool things. Excuse me. If you do boost, I'll read it on the episodes in the future. Okay, so we are here to talk about maps. At first, I wanted to do a quick update on last week's ChatGPT episode. I don't want to just spread bad information, and so I want to correct something that we did on the previous episode. And this came out later, and that's why it wasn't on there. I gave you the best current information that I had, but now that we have more information, I want to stay proper and current. And that is, ChatGPT does collect your data. They have been ordered to retain user data. However, there are enterprise customers and other users who are API users, and their data, if they have a zero data retention policy signed, then ChatGPT has not been ordered to retain their data. So that's a correction off something I made. Now, something to note is that in order to be an enterprise customer, you have to pay monthly per user, and there's a minimum. And it's hard to find the minimum, but some places have said it's like a minimum of 150 seats or employees that you have to be paying for in order to qualify as an enterprise customer. And it could be upwards of $30 a month. So, 30 times 150, how much are you paying there? Let's do quick math on air. You're paying like $4,500, $5,000 a month in order to be an enterprise user, in order to be able to sign a zero data retention policy or a ZDR. The other way is to be an API user that has that special ZDR privilege. That is an invite only, or approval only, I should say. You have to be approved and you have to go through an application process in order to get that. It's not 100% clear what that process is and what you need to be and how big you need to be and how much money you have to be committing to spend on the API in order to get that. So While I am issuing that correction, I think for 99% of the users, a majority of the users out there who use ChatGPT, they're impacted by this court ruling that is expecting and mandating that ChatGPT retain user data beyond what was normally defined. So just be aware of that. Wanted to give you that update. And also, if you aren't aware, there was a big breaking story yesterday from TechCrunch. Let me pull it up. Let's start sharing the screen, shall we? And I'll quickly share this TechCrunch thing. I changed the size of my window and saw my buttons moved. Here we go. Share screen. And let's go share my home server. Let me pull it up first. It was up and then it went down. The whole internet went down yesterday. Do you know what didn't go down? Maple. We got lucky there. We dodged a bullet. All right. Share screen. There we are. We are sharing. Look, I use Coggy for search. TechCrunch, Meta AI privacy. This is not fully on topic, but let's just quickly bring it up. Meta had a big privacy story break yesterday where they have their new app called Meta AI. And people didn't realize, but when you're chatting with the chat bot in Meta AI, there's a little button at the end that's like, hey, share this, which is typical of any Facebook app, right? Facebook, Instagram, I think, I don't know, WhatsApp, I don't use WhatsApp very much, but let's say Facebook, Instagram, they're always trying to get you to just like publicly post stuff and share it. And it's like so ingrained in the flow of the app that a lot of times you don't realize what you're doing. You think that in order to like hit submit, that all you're doing is like submitting your thing, but really what they're doing is having you share it out to your public timeline. And sorry, they put that into their AI app. So people are like having these private conversations with AI, talking about like medical problems and mental things that they're dealing with. And then they think they're just hitting submit to like continue the conversation with the AI chat. But really, what they're doing is they're sharing it to their public Facebook timeline. So people were like doxing and probably still are doxing their stuff, their themselves, right? And the things that they're chatting about. So be aware of that. Always be aware of your privacy. Try something out like Maple because your data is fully encrypted and we're not going to share with anybody because we can't share with anybody because we can't see it. Whereas, these companies like ChatGPT, the big AI companies, Meta, they keep it all in plain text for themselves because they want to use it for themselves. So that is my quick AI privacy update from our last week's episode. Wanted to set the record straight. Okay, what are we up to now? Sweet, we're up to 41 viewers. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining. Really appreciate you coming on today. All right. I was going, oh, yeah. I just want to really quickly change my overlay, customize it into a circle because I like that so much better. Okay, here we are. So today we're talking about maps. We use maps all the time. This is like one of the best features of a phone. I don't know what you think, but being able to just navigate anywhere in the world from my phone is amazing. So we're gonna talk about like, obviously Google Maps, Apple Maps, some of these big ones, super useful, but they're tracking where you go. They know exactly where you are all the time. They know what you search for. They know where you're headed. They start to learn your routines. They can sell you ads, they can share your data. Google especially has known data sharing agreements with governments and with Department of Defense, that kind of stuff. So I still use it, but I also want to find alternatives. And so I'm really grateful for the listener that suggested we look at privacy map alternatives. So I came in here actually for today's episode this morning. It's been a very busy week because if you don't know, for Maple, we just launched two new models. We launched DeepSeek R1 70B and Gemma 3 27B. So I actually just hopped in this morning to DeepSeek and said, all right, give me the best privacy map options out there that are alternatives to Google Maps. And it alerted me to not only OpenStreetMap, which I was already familiar with, but this other one called Organic Maps, which is built on top of OpenStreetMap data. And I think that they're really cool. So first we're gonna say, like, you know, short answer, give me a comparison of privacy for Google Maps, Apple Maps, and OpenStreetMap. Okay, let's just kind of go over this. I also did a quick Coggy search. So here's what Google tells you they're doing with your privacy for Google Maps, how Google protects your privacy and keeps you in control, right? So activity data allows for more helpful products and services. So right off the bat, they're like, you're in control of your data, but you should let us have your data because we make it so much more helpful to you across all of your products and services, right? Basically, we want Gmail, we want Google Workspace, we want everything else you're doing, Google Ads specifically, to be aware of where you're going so that we can be more helpful to you and show you a more catered experience. Yeah. Google doesn't sell your personal information. We do not sell your personal information to anyone. Advertising makes it possible for us to offer our products at no charge, and it helps the sites and apps that partner with us fund their content. Your personal information is not for sale. We keep your data private at every point in the process of showing you ads. Like, how contradictory is that paragraph right there? We don't sell your data. We don't sell your data. By the way, advertising makes it possible for us to offer these products for free. So while their lawyers tell them, you can say you're not selling the data, they are selling your data, right? They're selling you ads. So they are, in essence, doing that. And this goes back to the old adage that if you're not paying for the product, then, and if the product is free, then you are the product. So they are offering it to you at no charge. You are giving them your data and you are beholden to advertising. Okay, let's look at our response from DeepSeek over here in Maple. When comparing the aspects of Google Maps, Apple Maps, and OpenStreetMap, let's see, there's Google Maps, extensive collection of location and usage data, privacy concerns, data may be shared with third parties for advertising purposes with tracking across multiple services. Some settings are available for opt-out, but it's not very straightforward to opt-out. Apple Maps, they also use location data, but they use anonymization techniques like differential privacy, not tied user identities. They are more privacy-focused, emphasizes user privacy with no sharing of data with third parties for advertising. Now, that I have noticed Apple Maps doesn't do advertising in there because Apple has a different business model. They want to sell you more devices, and they want to sell you their cloud services. So Apple's business model is to make you pay for stuff. And when you're paying for stuff, you tend to not be giving up as much privacy. Opt-out, clear privacy settings reflecting Apple's commitment to data protection. So Apple Maps looks like a better privacy option than Google Maps because they have a different financial incentive. And Apple has publicly shown themselves to be more privacy focused. Last one, OpenStreetMap, OSM. Data collection, minimal if using it without logging in or contributing. Contributions may require an email and editing history. So if you want to actually help update the maps, then you are going to give a little bit of your privacy away. But if you're just using it, there's very minimal data collection whatsoever. Privacy variability, depends on the hosting app. Some third-party apps might collect more data. So OpenStreetMaps just like provides the database of maps, but then other apps can build on top of it, and each app has their own privacy, their own things that they collect. Opt-out, data collection is limited, especially when not contributing or using third-party apps. And I think what that means here is there's an openstreetmap.org, right, like main website where you can just use the map. Hosting is supported by Fastly, OSMF, corporate members, and other partners. So there's a foundation, the OpenStreetMap Foundation, OSMF. This foundation was started and it collects money, donations, and funding in order to support the OpenStreetMap project. It's something that can allow other tools to build off of. So there's a lot here on the OpenStreetMap Foundation website, but I just want to make you aware, like, this is the foundation behind OpenStreetMaps, and then people can come, right? They can use it themselves, this basic one on the website, or you can contribute to it, right? So this is the about page here. OpenStreetMap provides map data for thousands of websites, mobile apps, and hardware devices. It's built by a community of mappers that contribute and maintain data about roads, trails, cafes, railway stations, and much more all over the world. So if you want to help build the privacy solution and maintain the privacy solution for the people around the world, you can come use OpenStreetMap and consider updating and contributing to it, right? It's community-driven, local knowledge. OpenStreetMap emphasizes local knowledge. Contributors use aerial imagery, GPS devices, and low-tech field maps to verify that OSM is accurate and up to date. Okay, a lot more information here that you can read up on, and there's legal stuff about their foundation that they have and the partners that they work with. What I wanted to focus on, and when I asked DeepSeek earlier today to help me out, it pointed me to Organic Maps. So Organic Maps is one of these apps that is built on top of OpenStreetMap. And it is available on all these places. You can get on the App Store, Google Play, right? These two kind of closed systems. But then you can also get it on things like Optanian, F-Droid. I'm actually not familiar with App Gallery, and maybe this is a good topic for a future episode. Let's compare the app stores and the different operating systems. Something like Graphene OS. Zap.store is another one that's coming along. Zap.store is really interesting because it's kind of like these other ones, but a user uses a cryptographic key to sign their builds. And so you can know if you find out what that person's public key is, then you can verify that it's coming from them. Some of these other ones might do that too, but okay. So Organic Maps is open source. That's always the first thing here on Freedom Tech Weekend that we look for. Is it open source? Not every tool we share is open source. Let's just say open source. Freedom Tech does not require something to be open source, but it certainly is super helpful and something we look for. If it's not open source, it better have a really good reason for not being open source and have other ways to verify so that we as users can verify that things are what they say they are. Sometimes that means that you're running it offline and you can install like little snitch or something to verify that data is not being sent back and not phoning home. So open source is not a requirement, but this one is. So Organic Maps on GitHub, they've got 11,000 stars, so big project. When was the last updated? We always love to check this. 2 days ago, and just kind of scanning down, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 months ago. So it's an active project. They have 467 contributors. Let's see here. Just kind of scrolling through here. So what are some of the features that they offer? Detailed offline maps with places that don't exist on other maps, thanks to OpenStreetMap. So again, this is thanks to the contributions of everyday people, local contributors. You can get more information that maybe Google wouldn't get, because in order to contribute to Google, you have to have a Google account. And so if you're going to share some information, like you live in a neighborhood and you know that this street corner store or this thing over here is really cool and is not correct on Google Maps, like, do you want to have your Google account tied with that? Because that ends up being a little bit of a revealing of where you live. Excuse me. So this gives you an alternative to that. What else does it offer? Cycling routes, hiking trails, walking paths, contour lines, turn-by-turn walking, cycling, and car navigation with voice guidance. This is probably what most people use Google Maps for, right? You're in a car driving, you're walking around a city, you're on a bike, and you want turn-by-turn directions with audio. So super important that that's available. And then offline. Offline is awesome. So you can download Organic Maps, download where you want to go when you have internet connection, and then get out in the world and explore without the internet. In fact, I love how they phrase it here. Organic Maps is one of the few applications nowadays that supports 100% of features without an active internet connection. Install Organic Maps, download maps, throw away your SIM card, and go for a week-long trip on a single battery charge without any byte sent to the network. That's why we're here, chat. We're here to use something like this. So I have not used this yet. I'm going to download it. I'm actually going on a trip here in the next month or so, and I am going to download this and give this a try on my trip. And then I'm also going to start using it just for my everyday driving around and see how it stacks up against Google Maps and Apple Maps. And I encourage all of y'all to do the same. Give it a try, download it, see how it works. If you're going on a hike, download it and try it for your hike. This is a great alternative to something like AllTrails, potentially. I need to look and see what kind of trail information it has inside of it. But it might be able to let you ditch that kind of an app, which also is tracking your information. You don't know who AllTrails is. You don't know who the people are that work there. So why do you need to share your location data with them? It's got all sorts of other things, right? Like importing, exporting things, dark mode, international support. It's free and open source. Respects your privacy, saves your battery, no unexpected mobile data charges. That's kind of big too, right? If you're going international and you don't have a big data plan on your SIM card, you got like an eSIM somewhere. Idea for another future episode. International travel and eSIMs and how you can buy those quickly and privately. So, you know, there's a lot here. No ads, no tracking, no data collection, no phoning home, no annoying registration, no mandatory tutorials, no noisy email spam, no push notifications, no crapware, no pesticides. They crossed that out, just joking. Purely organic. I'm reading all these, even though you're on the live stream watching right now and you could read this for yourself, but I'm reading them for the audio as well later on when people listen to this and they run it back. That's organic maps. So go ahead and try it out. At the bottom of the page, they have all sorts of ways to contribute and donate. You can contribute by, you know, helping update map information. You can contribute by participating in their GitHub project, by submitting bugs, testing out new features, submitting code itself, like doing a pull request. Hey, you can use AI now to help you vibe code things and help out, but don't submit garbage, please. Like, test your stuff before you do a pull request. And then also like financial donations they accept. And they accept all sorts of currencies, right? Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Bitcoin. So you can contribute how you want to. All right. They have test flight and Android beta stuff down at the bottom, Linux desktop beta things, and or not beta, but you know, things down there too. So they've got a Telegram group, Telegram channel, Matrix. They're using Matrix, which is another thing we should cover at some point in the future on this show. They obviously have all the different socials that you can link to and go check them out. So they really try to be an international project that gives you the most private maps that you can find in the world. It looks like they've reached 3 million installs as of December 2024. So congrats to them. That's cool. All right, we are gonna call it here. We're almost at time and we've got 47 live people on the stream. Welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us today for Freedom Tech Weekend. I mentioned just a second ago, like, oh, that's something we should cover, the eSIM thing. I was traveling recently, a few weeks ago internationally, and I showed up and I forgot that I had switched carriers, cell phone carriers, and my previous carrier, I could just start using my phone right when I got there. This one, I forgot to add an international plan ahead of time, and they were closed because it was the weekend. This is a small carrier. I just whipped out my phone. I was able to go buy an eSIM. I paid with Bitcoin, and it was delivered to my email within 2 minutes. I was standing at baggage claim waiting for my bag, right? The little belt hadn't started turning yet. I'm just standing there waiting for my bag. And before the alarm went off and bags started coming down, I had an eSIM that I purchased with Bitcoin with an anonymous alias email address and stuck it onto my phone. So that person didn't know who I was, and I was up and running. And I think converting the Bitcoin to US dollars, it was like $4.50 or something. It was really cheap. And that gave me enough data to last me for 5 days. And by the time I was leaving to head back home, I still had a little bit of data left over. Had I run out of data, I would have just gone back and bought a bigger eSIM. And so it was super easy. All right, we've got one comment here before we close it out from Modus. Says, I've used organic maps. It's awesome. The only feature I miss is traffic, but I can always hop into browser and look up traffic if needed. Okay, that's really important to know. So it doesn't have live traffic. I use that a ton when driving around. So I will be on the lookout for that. And then maybe I'll do a little bit of research and see if there are ways that we could find some kind of privacy solution for that, that we could, I'm sure OpenStreetMap would love to get that in there, but that's cool to know. Okay, great. Well, thank you everybody. Thanks for joining Freedom Tech Weekend. Play around with organic maps this weekend or any of the other mapping solutions that are built on top of OpenStreetMap. Check the privacy, check the, you know, if they're open source, just make sure you know where your data is going and who you're sharing it with. And hope you have a great weekend. Peace.